Listening to Tomos with Go, the rework. Mid before this with Let You Speak, the Ocufen remix. Also a third attempt with Make It Double, the Keyson remix. Rocket Dubs in there with The Grass Ain't Always Greener. And Kolpak and Feed with 5PFE21 from 1.02 pre-15 by Kolpak. I'm DJ Firefly. That's about it for me for today. You've been listening to Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. You can see the whole playlist online at WRCT.org. Feel free to check out my website, DJFirefly.com.
Continuing on, we have Willow. You're listening to Massive Music Weekend on WRCT Pittsburgh. From Friday afternoon to Sunday night, we'll be spinning 60 straight hours of our favorite artists and bands. You can visit WRCT.org to view the full schedule for our annual music marathon. This is Willow, as I said, and this song specifically is called Marshalls. Enjoy.
Not inside your mind, loving communion, there's nothing better, your cheeks get redder. There's nothing better. Even in rough weather, it's raining knives like all the time. And I'm alive, eat all your air while we're alive. Marceline, I'm coming to get you, girl. We're flying. With your dad up in the nidosphere, Your tears, they're cleansing all my spheres. You touch my hair, I'm playing on your bass. But we don't care, we're messing up your space. You got nowhere to live, but you'll go back to space. Take me with you. I'm sick of mildew. I'm sick of all of these humans telling me what to do. They make you stupid, but we are from Nibiru. Remember your cosmic roots.
A cluster of super bright stars.
Love just torment, but they say life has a silver lining, and I say I will find it my way, 'cause down on earth there's so much pain, and way up here there's galaxies. Hey God, are you there? I need to talk. I feel when love is here, and then it's not. We hysterically cry when we up in the morning. Could you please tell us why life feels like torment?
You told me.
this song winds down to an end, I will read some underwriting. Row House Cinema joins you in supporting WRCT. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme showing classic, cult, foreign, animation, fun, and fascinating films in a magical setting. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, and vegan options. Although the doors to the theater are closed during the ongoing pandemic, Row House is still hosting many events online and in person when possible, trying their best to keep film culture strong in Pittsburgh through the pandemic. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. More information is available at www.rowhousecinema.com or by calling 412-904-3225. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Now playing is the song that made Willow famous, and I think arguably one of her worst songs, but I thought its sentimental value merited its inclusion in this set. I apologize a lot if you whip my hair.
Stay up in your zone. Yes, you're all alone.
to us. When I say goodbye to the third dimension. When I say goodbye to all this. Upon the stars, saw the mother snap back. Now you're where you started. My heart aches when I see your face. That's the story of this life, but my soul saw it twice. Never had a problem, but my soul seems to fight through the artifice of life. But it's the flower, it's the flower, it's the flower, it's the flower, it's the flower. We were walking on clouds, but the graves came down and they wept us all out. Let's get the 10x4 and we'll knock down the door, knock down the door. We'll see what they've been hiding. Let me tell you about the story of Poseidon. He was a young boy and was enlightened. Kinda like Jaden, kinda like the way we look in the sky and we see the chemtrails and we nearly all cry. They nearly just die, we merely just try to help them. The government is trying to sell them, not help them, but... The indigos are here, we
okay,
remembered
this is the end
the
of my Willow set. Up next is Sophie. Thanks for sticking around. Catch you with more music in just a second.
Let's start today with the latest on the pandemic in the United States and around the world. Then I want to look at the question, do any religions actually prohibit vaccination? For all of the talk about, I have a religious exemption from being vaccinated, what religions ban being vaccinated, if any? We're going to look at that in a moment. Now, last week, I came to you and I said COVID cases are down 53% in the U.S. from their Delta peak. Deaths are down 33% in the U.S. from their Delta peak. That was last week. And we said, what will the next week look like? Well, it's now next week relative to last week. And the numbers are once again better. Let's look at those numbers and see just how much better. The U.S. average daily COVID cases are now down 59% from their Delta wave peak of 167,000 a day. The U.S. now seeing 68,000 cases per day. Yes, it's a crazy number, but it's the lowest it's been since late July. And for now, it's pointing down rather than pointing up. And that's a good thing. In terms of daily U.S. deaths, the Delta wave peak was all the way back up to just a hair under 2,000 deaths a day. That is now down to about 1,275 deaths a day. A tragic number, but a decline of 35%. So both cases and deaths declining in the last week, cases declining more than deaths on a percentage basis. Okay, what's the global context? What's happening globally? Well, globally, cases are actually going back up. This is being led by some specific countries, which I'll tell you about in a moment. But globally, cases have gone up. It's not a big change, but cases globally were down to about 403,000 a day. They're now back up to 416,000 a day. It's a small change, but it could be meaningful. It could mean one of two things. Number one, we could be seeing the start of another wave with winter coming to the Northern Hemisphere. That's a possibility. It could just be a blip. We don't know yet, but this is being led by some countries with major increases in cases last week. I'll give you some examples. The Czech Republic has gone from they were almost at zero. They had 150 cases a day. They're at 3,000 a day, 150 to 3,000 a day. That's a huge spike in the Czech Republic. And when I tell you the other countries where we're seeing increases, you'll start to notice a regional trend. Hungary, Poland, Slovenia are seeing big spikes. Hungary went from 70 cases a day to 2,000. Poland went from 150 cases a day to 5,000. Slovenia went from 60 cases a day all the way up to about 1750. Just those few countries already, that's a major increase. And you look at the others, Slovakia, Croatia, Ukraine, all seeing significant increases in cases. So it could be that area. Also, big concerns in the United Kingdom. At one point last week, the United Kingdom had the highest case rate, I believe, in the world, now stabilizing at a very bad number of 45,000 cases a day in the UK. That's all bad. So the question is that coming to the UK? Coming to the US, rather. We saw with Delta that it started in Europe, and then we were just lagging behind. I think it was 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. So is what's happening in some of these European countries now going to be here in 6 or 8 weeks? We just don't know yet. You can find opinions saying yes. You can find opinions saying no. One view is we are going to see a decline, and we are going to get to sort of endemic levels where you get yourself vaccinated. If you do or participate in indoor events with a bunch of people, maybe everybody gets tested. I've been to a couple events, including a birthday party, where that was the protocol. That's one view. We're getting down to that endemic level. The other view is this is about to explode as we head into winter in the United States. What do we know about the U.S. right now? We know that vaccination is basically flat at a very low level. We're doing about 800,000 vaccinations per day, with reports indicating that there are more third doses in those 800K than first doses. That's very, very bad. We know that we are believed to be very close to vaccine approval for 5 to 11-year-olds, an FDA panel recommending that approval yesterday, and now we're just waiting for broader approval. It could be that we start vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds as soon as next Friday. That's something we're following. We know that schools where you are not required to wear a mask are seeing significantly higher COVID case rates than those where you are. So masks continue to be relevant for those unvaccinated kids. Also new, the CDC is now saying that some immunocompromised people can and should get a fourth COVID shot. That is not something that was previously discussed in any great detail. And now the CDC is saying, yeah, it's not just a third dose for some immunocompromised people. We should be looking and even starting to do fourth doses. So we're going to follow all of this. Cases down here, but increasing globally. And the question is, are we headed for a very dark winter, or are we headed for a not so bad winter with things being essentially everything open? Some places with vaccine requirements, some places vaccine or testing requirements, et cetera, as we've been seeing. So we will continue to follow it. We'll see where we are. By next week, we could either be at 60% down from the Delta peak, or we could start to see a turnaround, which would not be very good. All right, let's talk about religious vaccine exemptions. You hear so often, we allow religious exemptions, or I should be allowed to get a religious exemption. And then that brings us to the question of, are there religions that ban vaccination? Is it what exactly are people talking about? What do they mean? Or do they just mean, I've decided it's my personal religious belief? Now, this is not a debate over the validity of religious exemptions. We're examining, are there anti-vaccine religions? It's actually pretty tough to find. So let's go through a few of the things we know. A couple weeks ago, I said, you know, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses. But then I heard from a Jehovah's Witness, actually two different Jehovah's Witnesses, who said, we got the vaccine. We were told to take this seriously. Nobody said anything in our churches about not getting vaccinated. So the Jehovah's Witnesses I've heard from have said, no, we got vaccinated. I said, maybe Christian Science. But then I heard from a Christian Scientist who said, actually, David, it's fine. It's up to each individual person. But that being said, there are reports that the Church of Christ Scientist, known as Christian Science, is an anti-vaccine religious group. So upon further research, it appears as though it's up to the local pastor to some degree. Now, I know that no matter what I say about this, someone will disagree. But the best assessment that I have right now is that with Christian Science, it is not necessarily anti-vaccine at the top level, but that there are individual Christian Science pastors who are taking positions against the vaccine. Now, PolitiFact looked at this, and PolitiFact found a few of what they identified as anti-vaccine religions. But the context was that Dr. Anthony Fauci had said there are precious few religions that actually say you cannot get vaccinated. That was determined to be mostly true by PolitiFact. The summary is there are hundreds of religions, but in one tally, about five ban vaccination. People must prove their stances based on a sincerely held religious belief. Employers must accommodate it, but not if it would impose an undue burden on operations. And recent Supreme Court rulings indicate governments should seek alternatives to mandates. So what does PolitiFact say? PolitiFact says Vanderbilt University Medical Center's review of immunization and religion identified a small subset of Christian faiths that oppose vaccination on theological grounds. There are five, a group that includes the Dutch Reformed Church, Church of the Firstborn, Faith Assembly, and End Time Ministries. This is not comprehensive. Now it says, many people might instantly think of Christian Scientists. While many Christian Scientists rely on prayer for healing, the Christian Science Church offered guidance to members on vaccines in 2019 and said, for more than a century, our denomination has counseled respect for public health authorities and conscientious obedience to the laws of the land, including those requiring vaccination. Church leaders impose no decision on church members, but they encourage them to recognize the seriousness of public health. Church members are free to make their own choices on all life decisions in obedience to the law, including whether or not to vaccinate. Protestant faiths, Islam, Roman and Orthodox Catholicism, Judaism, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and more have no prohibition against vaccination. So what is the bottom line on this entire religious exemption thing? The bottom line is there are very few actual from the top vaccine prohibitions. There are anecdotally individual pastors who will rant and rave in churches and say, we're not bringing the vaccine here. It's the mark of the beast, this type of thing. So when we've seen that, it's typically a random individual evangelical pastor in, you know, Georgia or Ohio or whatever, who is saying, don't get it. It's bad, bad, bad. And by the way, vote for Trump. But that is an individual pastor. It's not actually from scripture. So I think the takeaway here is we're not even getting into the debate over the validity of religious exemptions. California has made it very difficult to even get one. But what we are pointing out is when someone says it's against my religion, we should ask more questions and say, OK, well, all right, what is your religion? What is the scripture that says it's against your religion? Now, in a purely empirical standpoint, it really doesn't make a difference whether it's in scripture or not, or whether it's a pastor saying it or not. Like, what I mean by that is scriptures held up as supposed holy texts are just that, supposed holy texts, only if you believe that religion. It's sort of like trying to impose what the Bible says on someone who doesn't believe in the Bible. It's sort of like, well, I don't care what the Bible says because it doesn't apply to me. I don't care about that. And in the same way, it's not really that different from a random pastor saying, we're not getting vaccinated here. Don't get vaccinated. The vaccine is bad from a validity standpoint. But I think the main takeaway is a lot of the people claiming religious exemptions, they're not really based in anything other than maybe a ranting pastor at their church. So that's what it is. Very tough to find actual religious opposition to vaccination. Take it for what it is. And if you have anything anecdotal to share about this, about your church or your community or whatever, find me on Twitter at @DPacman. I would love to hear from you about it. I don't know that I've mentioned before that our program does depend on the support of viewers and listeners to the podcast, people who watch clips on YouTube or listen to us on the radio, watch on Free Speech TV or one of our various television affiliates. And the best way to support our program is to sign up at joinpacman.com. We have great perks. We recently did one of our viewer town halls where our members get priority in speaking to me. We do an extra show every day for our members and so many other great things. You can sign up today at joinpacman.com. All right, I want to follow up. This Neil Cavuto thing has gotten really, really interesting. Yesterday, we talked about Fox News host Neil Cavuto literally begging his audience, supplicating, saying, get vaccinated, stop the politicization of vaccines. And he has been essentially ignored by his entire network. Now, Neil Cavuto is in a particular health situation. Neil Cavuto has had multiple sclerosis for quite some time. He had heart surgery. He was vaccinated when he recently got COVID, and he attributes having as mild a case as he did. Statistically, he attributes it. Of course, it's all anecdotal individually, but statistically, he attributes it to being vaccinated. So we looked yesterday at multiple clips of him pleading with his audience. Here is one such example as a reminder to get us all on the same page.
We've lost 5 million globally to this. We've lost nearly 800,000 in the U.S. Take the political speaking points and toss them. For now, I'm begging you, toss them and think of what's good, not only for yourself, but for those around you. If you don't want to do it for yourself, if you think it's a pain in the ass, I get that. Right. But think of others around you. I dare say people who experience this or seen loved ones who've been affected by this or, heaven forbid, die from this are not judging the wisdom of mandates. They're wishing they got vaccinated. And they didn't.
Don't let that happen.
So we suspected that based on the reaction from other shows, which was to say nothing about this, shows on Fox, to say nothing about this and just keep hammering about vaccine mandates and protests and all of this different stuff. We suspected it that his audience might not like this. And in fact, that's the case. So yesterday, there were some responses to Neil Cavuto begging his audience about the vaccine shared. And some people in his audience want him dead. Now, I receive death threats all the time on this show, and many people in media do. But it's interesting that his own right wing audience, which he has fed, he's built this monster over the last however many 20 plus years that he's been on Fox News, I think. The people that want me dead are never people that were on my side. The people that seem to want Neil Cavuto dead are people that were fine with him. They were viewers of his show. So let's take a look at it. He shared some of these yesterday.
We've got TJ, who also emails. It's clear you've lost some weight with all this stuff. Good for you. But I'm not happy with less of you. I want none of you. I want you gone, dead, kaput, finite, get it? Now take your two-bit advice, deep six it, and you.
Wow.
That's rather harsh, Neil. Whoa. So, I figured I'd relay that to you.
Is he trying out for the Sopranos prequel?
Jeez. Yeah, it does sound kind of like that. Okay, now we got Vince. Vince tweets, hey, guys, I bought a new car after being told it was the best. Then it blew up after I left the car lot. So now I'm begging everyone to please buy the same car. Sorry, I was just pretending to be Neil Cavuto.
So I guess that the implication is Cavuto only wants other people to get the vaccine because he got it and the vaccine is terrible. So he wants other people to experience the same bad stuff. I mean, it's crazy. It's bizarre.
Which I think is being a little sarcastic there in that last tweet.
You think?
A little bit. I know you love that.
The cringy nature of the segment is not lost on me, by the way.
Another tweet, PolitiFact bias. Neil Cavuto has been fully vaccinated for months and has been a vocal advocate about the safety and efficacy of COVID vaccines publicly and repeatedly on air. This is not a new position for him. Which is true, Neil. This is not a new position.
And that's kind of what we were stressing, in all seriousness. So look, this is something from the very beginning I've been saying, that I think the better part of valor is if you haven't been vaccinated, it might be a good idea for you to get vaccinated. I understand those for religious, personal reasons don't want it, but I understand also the numbers.
Now, remember, we dealt earlier with the religious thing. There's almost no religions that actually ban vaccination, and the ones that do are not prominent religions for the most part in the United States.
Or who do get vaccinated, the bigger the drop in cases.
Absolutely, but yeah.
Didn't fall on all receptive ears, I guess.
No, clearly not. I got another one for you. Ignis, aspiring to aspire, tweets, Cavuto is the Tigger of talking heads, a head full of fluff, just not cool like Tigger. And I think for the record, we had our fact checkers look at this. I think she is actually making the correlation that you were like Pooh Bear, because Pooh was the one that was full of fluff.
So. Okay, all right. So now they're getting off into very strange stuff. So what's funny is maybe this is new for Neil, but this is my inbox every day. OK, let's put that aside. What's not funny is that part of this reaction to Neil Cavuto saying get vaccinated, you know, take the politics out, whatever. Part of it is a result of coverage that Neil Cavuto has done. And in fact, yesterday he did a story about vaccine mandates triggering protests. He signal boosted again that there are these wacky people going to rallies merely to advocate against vaccination. And the fact that that's gotten nonstop coverage on Fox News is part of what has built this monster. So maybe don't cover that, Neil, particularly since he supposedly does sort of more of like a finance based show. I mean, it all, so I think it's a great thing that Neil Cavuto is saying this on Fox. It's an audience that desperately needs to hear it. I'm not surprised that his audience turned on him. Listen, Trumpists, what was the thing that got Trumpists to turn on Trump at that rally in, I don't even remember, was it Georgia, was it Wisconsin, a couple months ago, when Trump said, I recommend the vaccine and freedom too, but I recommend it. That completely vile, committed Trumpist audience booed Trump. So we know that this is something that will get the crowd to turn on you. But you can't ignore the fact that Neil Cavuto has also participated in some of this very same stuff through the story choice that he's done on his program. So that's what's going on. Not a big shock that this is the way that his audience is reacting. What may come as a shock to some, but not others, is new testimony from Dr. Deborah Birx. Remember Dr. Birx, prominent figure early in the pandemic response under the Trump administration. Dr. Deborah Birx now says the Trump administration could have prevented 30 to 40% of COVID deaths had Trump taken different actions and taken the pandemic more seriously. Newsweek report, Birx estimates Trump administration could have prevented, 30 to 40% of COVID deaths. The Trump administration's former coronavirus advisor, Dr. Deborah Birx, estimated that 30 to 40% of the 738,000 COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. could have been prevented had the White House taken necessary steps to curb the spread of the virus. In a closed-door testimony conducted by the House Select Coronavirus Subcommittee on October 12 and 13, Birx testified that more than 130,000 American lives could have been saved if the administration promoted mask wearing and social distancing in the early days of the pandemic. According to excerpts shared by the committee, Birx said, "I believe if we had fully implemented the mask mandates, the reduction in indoor dining, the getting friends and family to understand the risk of gathering in private homes, and we had increased testing, that we probably could have decreased fatalities into the 30% less to 40% less range." Asked whether former President Donald Trump did everything he could have to handle the pandemic, Birx said no, and I've said that to the White House in general, and I believe I was very clear to the president in specifics of what I needed him to do. We suspected this, but we didn't exactly know how to quantify it. We knew, of course, we would have had deaths regardless. All countries have had them. But we suspected the numbers would have been lower had Trump taken this seriously. When Trump was saying we have 15 cases, which will soon be zero. I mean, at this point, a globally humiliating statement to have made. If he had been doing something instead of downplaying it, we knew the death count would have been lower. We just didn't know how much lower. The U.S. Postal Service had a plan to mail out masks to everybody, and it got shot down, all in the name of slowing down the Postal Service for the election and in not making it seem as though this was really a problem. And then, of course, you had the falsehoods and you had the misinformation spread during 2020. Those to this day are killing people. People who, because of the disinformation, refuse to wear masks. People who, because of the disinformation, refuse to get themselves vaccinated. Another report on this in a Business Insider. Trump's White House ignored advice on COVID that could have saved over 130,000 lives, Birx said. Birx testified that the 2020 election distracted Trump from the pandemic. So is it good that Dr. Birx is saying this? Yeah, I guess it's good. Was she a purveyor of disinformation during her time as coronavirus advisor? Absolutely. And we can go back and forth and say, well, she was in a really tough position, or she may have calculated, I need to stay because if I leave, this gets even worse. But remember that completely bizarre interview where she said Donald Trump is just amazing at paying attention to the facts and making decisions on that basis on COVID. And we looked at it and we said, what the hell is he talking about here? What on earth is this? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And yet she continued to insist, no, he's doing now. OK, later it was intimated. It was said, it was suggested, she was in a delicate situation. There was only so much she could say. But I mean, you guys remember this stuff, right?
And then I see the disinfectant. Is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside, supposing you brought the light inside the body?
Right. You guys remember all that stuff. And Dr. Birx, I mean, okay, she looked confused, but she continued to run interference for that administration until it was too late. So great. She lets us know that we were right in what we suspected. Trump not only could have prevented 30 to 40% of deaths, by the way, he could have easily sailed to re-election by doing it. As I've said many times before, COVID was a major drag on Trump's re-election, which ultimately didn't happen. And he lost. He lost badly in the popular vote to Joe Biden, but it was only a few hundred thousand votes in a few states that electorally handed Donald Trump a defeat. If from day one, Trump had simply said, we are really going to take this as seriously as anyone. Listen to these doctors. wear your masks. We've got Trump masks. It's so stupid. But if he had done that right away, he would have sailed to reelection and we would have saved many, many people. So Dr. Birx certainly deserves criticism, as we've said before. But there is no question that not only could Trump have saved people, he could be president right now if he had better handled it. Let me know your thoughts. We're going to have more coverage of this on the David Pakman Show Instagram. Make sure you're following us there at David Pakman Show. You can follow me on Instagram at David.Pakman. We will get to the latest on the January 6th committee after this short break. So on Sunday night, this Rolling Stone story broke, written research by Hunter Walker. Incredible story outlining the degree to which members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, were actually allegedly involved in the planning of the January 6th protests that turned into the Trump riots. And a lot of prominent Republicans were named in that. We heard the name Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Madison Cawthorn, and others. One of the names we heard was Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks is the congressman who was wearing body armor on January 6th. Why do you do that unless you suspect something pretty crazy is going to happen? Still not a question that we've gotten answered. Well, Mo Brooks is doing something that it tracks with Mo Brooks and everything we know about him. He's sort of suggesting maybe it was his staff that was involved in the planning of what happened on January 6th, completely throwing them under the bus. This is just absolutely fantastic. Let's look at an article about this from Business Insider. Congressman Mo Brooks shifted blame onto his staff after he was accused of helping to organize the January 6th Capitol rally. Mo Brooks shifted blame to his staff over his alleged role in planning the Stop the Steal rally. Two planners told Rolling Stone that Congressman Brooks had been in contact with organizers for the event. Brooks said he had no involvement in planning it, but maybe his staff had a role. I don't know if my staff did. We actually have a tweet. Melanie Zanona, who's a Capitol Hill reporter for CNN, tweeted, Representative Mo Brooks told me he had no involvement in planning the January 6th rally, but said, I don't know if my staff did, but if they did, I'd be proud of them for helping to put together a rally lawful under the First Amendment at the Ellipse to protest voter fraud and election theft. Brooks was responding to a Rolling Stone report that, as we told you, identified him as one of the lawmakers involved in planning the rally outside the Capitol. Brooks spoke at the event, telling the audience to start, quote, taking down names and kicking ass. He wore body armor as he spoke, Slate reported in July. Shortly afterward, as we now know, hundreds of pro-Trump protesters stormed the Capitol in a challenge to the certification of Joe Biden's election victory. So why is Mo Brooks doing this? First question, is this an act of desperation by Mo Brooks throwing his staff under the bus as his best defense? It may be an act of desperation. And what this relates to is the committee and the investigation that's going on into January 6th. And the article actually mentions that. The news comes as the bipartisan congressional investigation into the events of January 6th heats up, with the panel moving on Monday to pursue criminal contempt charges against Steve Bannon, the former Trump aide who refused to share information about any role he may have played that day. Two people who planned that, this is, we know this from the article Monday. Two people who planned the rally beforehand told Rolling Stone that multiple people involved in planning the Stop the Steal rallies communicated with members of Congress in the run up to the January 6th event, one of whom was Mo Brooks. The planners also said they'd been in communication with Congressman Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert, Madison Cawthorn, Andy Biggs, and Louie Gohmert. Brooks has been identified as being involved in the planning of the wild protest, a separate event held on January 6th that sought to challenge Biden's election victory. In a now deleted live stream, Ali Alexander, who helped organize it, said Brooks, along with Gosar and Biggs, had come up with the idea for the protest. So there are so many different ways in which Mo Brooks is being implicated here, but just do a sniff test. Do like just a basic gut check. He wants us to believe that he...
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
You are listening to WRCT, Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Spack Brothers Pizza is located at 5107 Penn Avenue in the Garfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh. For more information, call 412-362-SPAC or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. Many older adults are struggling to make ends meet, especially during the pandemic. But free and confidential help is available. Visit benefitscheckup.org to see if you qualify for benefits to pay for food, medicine, utilities, and much more. Millions of older Americans are getting over $1,000 a year in benefits. Maybe you can too. Visit benefitscheckup.org. The following is a message for those fortunate enough to care for the person who has always been their hero. Growing up, your hero was always there. They repaired your first broken heart, they took care of you when you got sick, and they set you into each chapter of your life with advice and lessons that left you feeling ready to conquer the world. But with the passing of time, the tables have turned, and your hero needs you now more than ever. AARP is here to help you care for your hero. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.